Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Hello again. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetrack. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing great. Came back from an awesome weekend of racing at Pocono. Looking forward to an awesome weekend at Richmond.
Jumped up on the pit box with Chris Gabehart for the post-race victory celebration, and he ends it with, a racing purist is never bored at Pocono. He knows my passion for just racing and everything. He look and he even smirked and knocked knuckles with me when he said it. A racing purist is never bored at Pocono. That race had everything, Todd.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. It did. It did. We walked away with controversies and people mad at each other.
We had six drivers are all junked up at other people.
We got a helmet thrown on the race.
We got a helmet thrown at the race track. We got a whole lot of bleeped out commentary from Ryan Preece, and oh my gosh, it was wild.
Yeah, it was. It was, and you know, really, really, you looked at it. There were recoveries.
Yes,
we had, but. The cautions played out to do that. I mean, I'll go back. I think Martin Truex Jr. was
that guy again.
I thought he was the best car again. I mean, I know Chris doesn't think that, but from my vantage point, I thought they were very close to each other. I thought James called the right strategy. Denny didn't wait on fuel at like 32, which put him where he couldn't make it out to 80. You know, if you looked at this race, you always felt like you needed to get to lap 80, and that gets you to 120, which gets you to the win.
Right.
Or the finish. And Denny couldn't make it. They had to stop at 72, put them in a situation. End of stage two, Denny has to come get fuel and tires, but that puts him in a situation where they could take two in fuel.
Much like,
Kyle Larson, how about the suspense there? Waited to pit with two to go, but the caution came out with 2.5 to go and couldn't get to pit road.
Yeah.
Didn't know if he was going to make it for the end of stage two, but did make it back. But you had two guys on a different strategy. They didn't have to wait on fuel. They had, I think Kyle Larson had a 4.5 second pit stop in the final stop.
Yeah.
Martin Truex had to wait on fuel. It was almost 13.
Yeah. Crazy.
But the caution at 106 brought the guys that had stopped close enough that their two tire stop was going to flip them out in front. Yeah. So, it's always, you got to watch what happens.
It fascinates me. It really does how one thing impacts the other and how this plays out. And even listening to James Small on the radio, he knew. He told Martin Truex, you get as big a lead. There's no max fuel. There's no fuel saving. You get as big a lead as possible because there are guys behind you that are going to need to spend a whole lot less time on pit road than we are. And ultimately, that's what brought everyone into play.
He was in a good position until the caution came out at 106.
Right.
And at 106, that closes the field back up, and that 5-6-7 lap lead that he had on the two tire guys and driving away from him, that went back to being 1 second, and he lost that cushion. And it was interesting to watch it all happen. But I mean, a four car race.
Yeah.
You had the 5, you had the 19, you had the 11. The four car was right in there. When the 5 and 11 got together, the 4 was trying to figure out
right
where to go.
Right up the middle. I thought Harvick gets to that tunnel turn first, and we're talking to Rodney Childers, who is our guest. We had it lined up beforehand. Harvick gets to that tunnel turn first, and we're probably talking to the race-winning crew chief from this race. And that's how good they were as well.
They were. They were in position and put themselves there all day long. A good run for them, another solid one. This team, I feel like, is building momentum into what they need for the playoff.
Right. Couple of attaboys. You mentioned Kyle Larson. At one time, he's sliding up the racetrack in turn number one. At one time, we're talking about him running out of fuel to be in the hunt at the end. This team, Cliff Daniel, is just really good at keeping themselves alive and then using their natural ability, their natural talent to go out and try to win races. I just, you look at their race, there was twice during the day where it's like they could be cooked, and they ended up racing for the win.
They're good, but they don't recover because of their speed. They recover because of their strategy.
Right.
That's the piece at this point. Early in the season, they had enough speed to cover up anything. I wouldn't say that they're off on speed, but I don't think they're exceptional. I think they're good.
Good.
And I mean, called a good race. That being able to save enough fuel there to make it to the pit road opening at the end of stage two, got himself a stage win. And for the first time, we might have had the stage two winner actually win the race, and not for a couple late race restarts there.
Yes, no doubt about it. Got a couple of attaboys. Last week, we talked about Tyler Reddick and Billy Scott.
Yep.
They had five straight races of 27th or worse. We gave them an attaboy for the sixth place run in New Hampshire. Now they really get an attaboy, a third place run. We talked about this last week. You got to get the train back on the track, and it looks like they're getting the train back on the track.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. And all the Toyotas were strong here, but they used it and put themselves in position, didn't let the day get them. They had a few little situations.
Yes, they did.
Obviously, they were the helmet target.
They were
at lap 107. So, but you know, a good run for those guys. Toyota, a strong showing here.
Speaking of Toyota, Chris Gayle, Ty Gibbs, career first top five for Ty Gibbs. Really neat stuff. This is a team that wouldn't surprise me if somewhere here before the playoffs or we get in the playoffs, might be able to sneak up and contend or even grab a win.
And they're building their way into being in that points position.
They really are.
I think they're 18th in points. There's someplace right there around.
Yeah, they're 19th in points. Okay. They're only 28 out, though.
Yes. That was 40-something last week.
Yeah.
They're closing a gap, and I feel like at 28 points back and the runs that they're putting together,
there's the thing.
They're going to be part of this playoff picture all the way down to the end. We'll see where it plays out this weekend.
For sure. And finally, Dave Alenz, Eric Jones, ninth place. They got off sequence. They caught some damage. I think it was Joey's crash. And the right front got, or right front, left front, one side of it got caved in. I had their pit box. Seemed like I would know. I had a pit box. A lot of damage, but this is the, okay, here's our situation. Let's make some hay out of it. Ninth place. We know Eric Jones is great at that racetrack. Dave Alenz knows he's good there, too. They made a nice day out of it.
Eric Jones, 12 races at Pocono.
Yeah.
8 top 10.
That's insane.
It's so under the radar that nobody talks about it, but. You know, these guys, kudos to Dave Alenz and putting that together. You know, it's just, how do you recover? That's what this was. I want to step a little bit farther. You said finally, but I want to go the two positions in front of him as well. Brian Wilson, Harrison Burton finished 8th.
Yes, absolutely.
Same strategy. And Mike Kelly and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Not the greatest day, but all three of these guys took the opportunity to be on a different strategy. They didn't pit when the window opened to finish the race. They ran until their fuel ran was
right,
and they were deep into 130s. I think 134 to 138 that all three of these cars pitted. Caution comes out at 141. They're on 3-lap old tires versus guys with 20. They drove themselves forward to top 10.
That one restart, Stenhouse bailed it down into turn number one. I was like, is this guy going to lead coming off from turn number one? The way he went down through there in there. I intentionally left Mike Kelly and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. off because I'm not going to anymore act shocked that they're running in the top 10. I mean, but you're right. They did a great job. I go back to this thing, okay? If you would have told us that the first part of the season, JTG Daugherty Racing and Front Row would point their way into the playoffs, both. I'm not sure I would call one, let alone both. Right now, I mean, Ricky obviously has that Daytona 500 win.
But he's still 14th in points.
Still 14th in points.
Yeah.
And if you look
at average finish, he's higher than some perennial powerhouses.
Oh, yeah.
Guys that are in the playoffs that.
Yeah. They're
solid. Putting it together.
That's why I intentionally left them off. I'm no longer going to be surprised that they have a top 10 finish. But it was a great strategy. That's Pocono. Pocono has everything, that's for sure.
And I think we're coming up on one this weekend. It's another one. Strategy calls.
Another one as well. And a guy that I am sure is looking forward to it is Rodney Childers, crew chief for Kevin Harvick. His numbers there at Richmond are pretty good, no doubt. We're going to talk to Rodney here in just a second. Stay with us. This is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, and let's do it. Let's go over to Stuart Haas Racing. Joining us is Crew Chief on the number four Ford Mustangs over there for Kevin Harvick. Rodney Childers joins us. Hello, Rodney. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
We are doing well, Rodney. Fourth place finish up at Pocono. Fourth place finish up at New Hampshire. I know you don't race for fourths. Fourth is all right. Kind of assess where you guys are at this point of the year.
Yeah, I think, you know, going into these last couple of weeks, we knew that we would run well at those type of racetracks. And Loudon, we had a really good car, you know, all weekend long, and felt like we, you know, had a shot at, you know, at running well and having a win and all that kind of stuff. And felt like we probably had the second best car and we finished fourth. So, you know, some things that we could have done different there. I should have, you know, made a little bit, you know, braver calls early in the race and got some track position early in the race. But, and then this past weekend, same deal. We had a really good car all weekend. I think whoever got out front was going to have a shot at winning. We just never got ourselves out front. But overall, a strong car. I felt like everybody had done a really good job of you know, taking the right stuff there, and felt really good about it all weekend long.
It's been good to see you continue forward. You know, you've maintained. You guys, you and Kevin, have done a phenomenal job of just manufacturing everything you can in a great points position. Maybe not great, but a really good one. 163 to the good right now. It's been talked about the Ford's challenges and aero side and performance wise. Seems like you guys are kind of easing up on that. Are you finding gains and getting yourself back to where you feel like you need to be for the playoffs?
Well, like you said, I mean, that part, you know, going into this year was a bit disappointing. I thought we all kind of felt like we were going to be better, you know, with some of those updates, and we all ended up being worse than what we were last year. So that part's been a struggle. You know, to be honest with you, we haven't found any gains at all. I don't know of anything from aero side that we've gained since we raced Fontana early in the year. So, you know, that has almost taken the pressure off of that side, and just worrying, you know, we're just worrying about setups every week and trying to get the most mechanical grip we can get and doing everything right, you know, get all the details right, and go out there and make sure we have the right shocks and springs and heights, and you know, maximizing that the best we can. But you know, like we said, everybody's working really hard. It's not from lack of effort. It's just, you know, these cars are really hard to find anything right now and kind of maxed out with what you got. So, you know, we're trying. It's not from lack of effort, like I said, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Is it something also where you know, I mean, I know everyone is in such a small box, but is it something where you can call in Doug Yates and kind of have him involved with this as well, with the handling under the hood of those cars that Doug can sometimes help with?
Yeah, and Doug's done a great job. All those guys over at the engine shop have, and I felt like our car ran a lot better this past weekend. You know, most weeks I could, you know, look at SMT and tell you that we were getting beat down the straightaway, and this weekend we didn't get beat down the straightaway. So, you know, hopefully that's a good sign going forward, and, you know, hopefully we can keep getting better on that side of it. And, you know, like you said, it doesn't take much anymore. You know, these cars are so much at terminal velocity, you know, 5 horsepower is 2 car lengths. So, you know, we used to, when somebody was 20 horsepower up, it was 2 car lengths, you know, 5 years ago, and now it doesn't take but 4 or 5 and it stands out big time. So, you know, we're trying and they're trying, and, you know, hopefully we can keep plugging along here.
As we look forward, going to Richmond, the next gen car, you guys are finished second in what was an epic battle between you and Denny Hamlin coming through the field. I got to call that one for MRN. That was really cool. Won a fall race last year, 5th in the spring. A good racetrack for you to get back to.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's been a great racetrack for us so far. In the spring race, we missed it a little bit. You know, going with the low downforce package, it was a bit of a change, and we changed stuff for that, but we just missed it a little bit. But, you know, we feel better about going back this time. Obviously, it's going to be extremely hot. The track conditions will be different. It's going to be hot and slick, and I think, you know, normally that's a good thing for us. So, you know, you kind of got to put the whole corner together, but, you know, there and, you know, in the spring we were loose in and tight in the middle, loose off, and it's hard to finish fifth when you got all that going on, and it's hard to fix during the race. So, you know, hopefully we can, you know, have a little bit better balance when we unload and do a little better job this time.
You talk about the heat, and we've seen it. I think right now, as we record this, Saturday looks like a high of 100. Sunday might be a little reprieve down to 90 or something like that. But how does that change strategy for the race? And do you think that changes how you run the stages between, you know, normal cloudy overcast or this kind of heat and sunshine?
I mean, it has kind of turned into using every set of tires you got. You know, you used to be able to kind of split it up different ways, and, you know, you'd do the math and it would, you know, show it was pretty equal whether you pitted, you know, twice or three times or whatever. And now it's just, you know, using everything you got, and the tires are falling off a lot. And like you said, with the heat, it's going to fall off even more. So I think it'd still be a, you know, more of a three stop type deal, and using every set of tires you got, and maybe even your qualifying scuffs at some point.
Fascinating stuff, that's for sure. We roll out of Richmond, we roll up to Michigan, where you guys swept, or you went back-to-back with Richmond and Michigan last year. Of course, you talk about a lot of the changes with the cars and changes with the Fords. Kind of, what's your thoughts when we look at Michigan, the next race?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you used to look at the drag side of it when you would go to Michigan, and that kind of went away last year. I know last year when we went there, we could care less how much drag we had. We just wanted to take the most downforce we could take, and it ended up working out for us. But it was still a track position race, and we got a little bit fortunate of being on pit road when the caution come out, which, you know, we had run good all day. But, you know, having that gift and being able to restart as the leader was a huge deal for us. So, you know, I think the Fords right now are a little bit lower on drag, so hopefully that'll help a little bit qualifying and qualify up front, get a good pit stall. But it's still going to come down to getting through the corner better than everybody else and having that track position. So, you know, that, like you said, it's been a great racetrack for us, a lot of confidence going to that place every time. And, you know, we've won a lot of races there, so hopefully we can go there and be strong.
You mentioned the, you know, good starting spot and a good pit selection. My memory is pit stall one at Michigan, probably the biggest advantage you see all year. So winning on Saturday is a big advantage.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, you need to qualify up front and have that clean air and that track position. And that would be huge for us. You know, anything we can do to start up there on the front row would be a win for us.
We've talked about Richmond, we've talked about Michigan, but really we have five races before the playoffs. And again, you guys are in a solid spot point-wise. We're not worried about that. You have a couple of road courses in Daytona. Are there some big picture things that you're working on that you want to clean up, that you want to get your arms around as we get ready to go to Darlington, where you finished second in the spring, to get off to a good start? Are there some things over these 5 weeks that you're tidying up just to make sure you're ready for a playoff run?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, and there's been racetracks that we've had cars that are capable of winning. You know, I think the last couple of weeks I've got to do a better job and clean up some of my side of it. But, you know, we kind of go through those little hills and valleys, you know, going to the Chicago street course and all that. It kind of knocks the wind out of your sails a little bit. And you know, we all kind of get down in the dumps that particular week, and then we go to another place where we've won a lot of races and we're all excited about going again. So, you know, obviously the last 2 weeks have been a lot of fun. I think the next 2 weeks will be a lot of fun. And then we're back to the road courses. And luckily, the next two road courses, Kevin has liked, you know, a lot. The Indy road course, he, you know, kind of says it's pretty easy for a guy like him. It's got good markers and it's more of a normal type place. And then obviously at Watkins Glen, we've run really well there and has tons and tons of laps there and is really comfortable there. So, you know, I definitely feel more comfortable with the road courses coming up than maybe some of them earlier in the year. And, you know, hopefully we can just keep knocking out these top fives. And I think if you do that, you'll have a shot at winning some races.
Yeah, definitely. I think about, you know, you talk about the road course pieces. I remember trying to push you to run out of gas in 2014 at Watkins Glen because you had us covered. I think those are two places that it's cool to see Kevin get back to, and you guys, I think, will have success there. I'm going to go another page forward, but as you look into next year, you guys announced a couple weeks back, Josh Berry coming over to Stuart Haas Racing. How involved were you and Kevin in that whole process, if you can share any of that with us?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows how big of a Josh Berry fan I've always been. And, you know, I've told Dell Jr. 1,000 times, if he ever got the right shot, he'd be really good. And, you know, for me as a racer, I compare him to other racers, right? And you know, you just see his craft and what he does and the way that he races, the way that he thinks and all that. And you can pinpoint all that stuff as, you know, even just watching a late model race. And, you know, obviously in the Xfinity series, he's had a lot of success. And, you know, this year they've been down a little bit, but, you know, they were able to make some changes this past week and get their cars better, and obviously had a shot of winning and kind of goofed that up a little bit at the end. But, you know, to sit on the pole and to win both stages and have a shot was really good for him, a big confidence builder. But for me, you know, the pickings are a little bit thin right now, right? And it's not like you're just going to go hire Kyle Larson or somebody like that. I mean, you got to think about the future of SHR and what we have going on, and you need somebody that is mature and has their life together and can go out there and win races. And you know, you got to have somebody you can get along with too. So I think the relationship that, you know, we already have and the relationship that we'll have going forward is going to be a good one. You know, he's, you know, intense about what he does and has a lot of the same thought processes and background as what I've come from. And I think that's a good thing. And I think signing, you know, under, you know, KHI, after all this was said and done, is, you know, being able to call Kevin Harvick every day and talk to him is something that anybody wished they could do. So, you know, having that student-teacher relationship is going to be big for all of us.
On that topic, kind of the good news for Josh Berry, the good news probably more so for you guys, is that he's been super sub on the Cup side. You know, we know the Xfinity cars and the Cup cars are so different, but Tony actually joked about this at the announcement that Rick Hendrick has helped train him to be better for you guys there. It's got to be nice to have him have whatever he's got, 6 or 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever it is, Cup races, Cup starts in this generation of race car as well.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff can't hurt. You know, just, I was talking to Josh last week, and you know, just being able to hop in there and make a pit stop was hard enough. You know, yeah. Kevin had done this stuff for 20 years, and you know, he had done his feet and all that stuff a certain way in the pit box for, like I said, 20 years. And then you turn around with this new car and you can't even do that anymore. You have to do it a totally different way. And you know, to be able to, I think it was like his second race in that 9 car, he beat like 4 people off pit road. And I was like, well, I'm surprised he could even do that. You know, it's hard enough to just get in there and drive the things and learn how to shift them. But to get in the pit box and, you know, do your feet completely different than what you did in the Xfinity car the day before, that's really the stuff that you got to learn. You got to learn how to, you know, that's where you make up your spots the easiest, is on pit road. So if nothing else, he learned how to do that. And, you know, hopefully we can give him some good cars and learn, you know, what he needs and how he wants to drive them and still be competitive.
Yeah, it is. It's fun stuff, that's for sure. I love that combination. You teased about some late model stock racing. You know, I have a passion for late model stocks. Once the Cup season is over, I can't wait to see how that all plays out. But really, before we get to that, can't wait to see what you guys have at Richmond and Michigan and on. Rodney, it is always a pleasure to chat with you. We appreciate the time joining us here today on Crew Call. Wish you the best this week at Richmond and on throughout.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
There we go. Rodney Childers joining us from over at Stuart Haas Racing. Stay with us. More Crew Call in just a moment.
This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Welcome back to Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post. And, you know, Todd, we talk about championship caliber teams and drivers. And, you know, we've talked over the course of the last few weeks about ones that have stepped themselves up. Rodney and Kevin, while they've not been in those conversations, we could be talking about round number three of the playoffs, about how good they are. Yeah. And then they're one of those teams that I don't think you can count out. And it's the maturity. It's just everything that they have together.
It's everything. The whole package. It's the whole package. And I mean, Kevin's really good. I think he does a really good job of it. I've worked around Rodney. I've worked beside Rodney for a lot of years, had a lot of great races with him. Lots of respect between Kevin and Joey, as we saw this weekend with the foundation work.
Correct.
That the
yeah,
two of them did. Yeah. But I felt like that Ford team was my best teammate outside of my team, outside of my organization. But great people. And Rodney's sneaky.
Yeah.
He's sneaky. He's very calm. He is intense. Yeah. I've worked with him around him back in the MWR days, and he's pretty smart on all that stuff on how to get everything out of his race cars, and that's showing right now. 2 fourth place finishes in a row. I think they're building momentum, and they both elevate when the pressure comes on.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's going to be fun to watch. That is for sure. You are, as we talked about in the opening segment, you are a strategy geek when it comes to races. We had it at Pocono. No rest for the strategy geek. You're joining us again at Richmond. I love these races, but no rest for it. Richmond, strategy, tire degradation. Oh, yes. We've got it all up there at Richmond.
Yeah, and on top of that, we got a 100-degree day on Saturday and looks like tickling on 90 on Sunday. That, as we talked with Rodney right there, when that place gets hot and slick, it gets wider, lanes come open, racing just gets better. So it'll be fun to watch how this works out. And inevitably, you lay out the perfect plan of, I'm going to put tires on at this point, and then a caution falls in the middle of one of those and throws a monkey wrench in the whole thing. It'll be fun to watch how this plays out, and I'm going to enjoy being up there just to be part of this conversation and help broadcast how it changes as the cautions come. That's the fun part for me in the broadcast.
Yeah. How much of this do we need to look forward to Phoenix as well? I think it's the same tire we have. Of course, we're probably, who knows, it's the desert, so it could be 100 degrees at Phoenix. I doubt it in November. But how much of this are teams, are the premier teams, the Rudy Fugles and the James Small, how much are they looking at this to see what they can glean for Phoenix?
I mean, you're always looking forward to what you can do throughout the playoffs, right? But they're very different in the respect that Richmond is, it's an older surface. And we talk about, I mean, tire wear and lap time fall off is huge here. You'll see 2 and 3 seconds of fall off. And that's where this multiple bit strategies all come into play. Phoenix, you don't really see the tires fall. The tires lose lap time. I hate using tires falling off because we have those problems. Those are bad. As a tire loses grip as it gets used, you don't see that lap time fall off from Phoenix that you do at Richmond. So this is the best piece that they're going to look at.
Right.
It's the short track. It's that low downforce aero package. You know, Randall Burnett talked about it a few weeks back about just this is a package they don't have a grasp on. So this is an opportunity for everybody to tune on this low downforce package at probably the fastest place. It's going to be closer to getting to Phoenix. The only other one you got left is Martinsville, and not really like Phoenix. So Loudon last week or a couple weeks ago, and then Richmond here. Yeah, you'll use some of that notebook coming forward.
Fascinating. You mentioned Randall Burnett. I did a Q&A up at Pocono with Kyle Busch, and a similar question, you know, 6 races to go. What are you looking at? Richmond. That was he just flatlined it. He's Richmond. We got to be better at Richmond.
If you want to win a championship, you're going to have to figure out the low downforce package.
Exactly. So, going to be fascinating stuff, that's for sure, at Richmond. Motor Racing Network is at Richmond, but we are also up at Road America. The NASCAR Xfinity Series is up there. Trucks and Cup are at Richmond. So let's give you the lowdown as far as the weekend goes. 12:30 Eastern Time on Saturday in the heat and humidity of Richmond, NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying. Todd looked at his weather app. It starts off in the low 90s. By the time we're done, 99 degrees is what it's saying. We get done at Richmond at 2:30 Eastern time. It is the Henry 180 NASCAR Xfinity Series race up at Road America. I love Road America. Can't wait. I'm actually getting a new vantage point of Road America. I'm going to be out in Canada Corner. I usually am down in turn one. Exactly. I'll be down there. You'll see me. I'll be the one drinking the Molsons down. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be awesome. Xfinity Series racing at Road America is awesome. It really is. 7 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday night, NASCAR Camping World Truck, or Craftsman Truck Series, Worldwide Express 250. Sunday, 2 o'clock, the Cookout 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series. Going to be a great weekend at Richmond. Going to be a great weekend up at Road America as well for all the NASCAR folks.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. I like it up there. It's beautiful country this time of year, all the lakes and just the whole area and the racing there. Interesting to see how it plays out with the new asphalt. Repaved that place from October to November last year, all 4.048 miles of it. See how that race, how it changes the makeup of the race and what happens here.
It's going to be fun. It is for sure. Bratwurst, beer, a bratwurst, spotted cow, and cheese.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Yeah. Living life good.
Living life good. That is for sure. So it is great, and we are living life good. Motor Racing Network has you covered with all of our podcasts, all of our shows, and all the NASCAR action this week. We appreciate Rodney Childers joining us. More important, though, than all of that, we thank you for joining us here this time on Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network.